Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has within the human being, within the insan, those people who bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people Allah has given inam, reward. Allah ta'ala has apportioned and given reward. Due to the iman, Allah ta'ala gives them an azim reward in this world, and that is the reward of worshipping Allah. Not just this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hukum that do my ibadah. Rather, with Allah ta'ala's fadl, His blessings, His mercy, Allah gives us the methodology of how to do ibadah, how to worship Allah. And the ibadat, the different forms of worship that Allah ta'ala has bestowed to us as a gift, these are on the rank of fard, compulsory, so that no human being is lazy or negligent in observing those deeds. We have, for example, fasting, salah, prayer, hajj, zakah, compulsory charity. These are the special forms of worship for the human being which he or she must do. Whether I feel like it, I don't feel like it, my heart feels like it, doesn't feel like it. But this is the hukm, the order of Allah, for every mu'min man and woman, that these ibadat we must do. In the same way, just like Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us in the detail, at the right time, that in the right sort of guidelines that Allah Ta'ala has given, in the same way that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed or explained to us that they must be done. And if any human being leaves these ibadat, these forms of worship, and doesn't implement them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then there's a warning for that person, there's an admonishment for that person, that in no way should we or can we leave these forms of worship, implementing these ibadat. Allah ta'ala says, from my end, it's a strict and firm order, we must do this. And except for where there are excuses within the boundaries of Sharia, where you cannot observe them. Where a person doesn't implement the deeds, doesn't observe Allah Ta'ala's order, doesn't do ibadah, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give adab and I'll give punishment in this world and in the hereafter. And we keep on listening, and we know that opportunities come according to the opportunities. News is delivered to us that this ibadah, do this straight away. If you don't observe this ibadah, then there's a punishment for this. These opportunities through the day, through the weeks, etc. Just like salah, let's take salah as an example. The greatest ibadah that every person has to pray, salah, namaz. And the person who doesn't pray salah, then like it is stated, or in the meaning of one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that the person who prays salah 5 times according to my orders, then he will be entered into paradise. And the person who doesn't pray salah, doesn't observe salah, Allah ta'ala says that there's no link between me and that person will lose. He will lose. So if Allah ta'ala said this, then this is a big adhab for a human being. His dunya is finished, his akhirah is finished, his world is finished, his akhirah hereafter is finished. It's a punishment. He will have to pray. We all have to pray salah. No choice. So there's another hadith about regards to not praying salah, that if somebody leaves salah, doesn't pray salah, Allah Ta'ala says his condition at that time due to leaving salah, his home outside, his mal, his wealth, his home, his family, everything that he has and owns, everything is gone, finished. He has nothing left to his name. No sign. What a big punishment. What a big punishment. So, in other words, these ibadat that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we have to practice them strictly from Allah Ta'ala. There's an order. This is the ibadah which is done as a reaction, because Allah Ta'ala says, I'm holding the stick and you must do it. In other words, just given an example, a similitude, whatever, we have to prostrate, we have to pray fasting when it's compulsory. There are hadith that those who do not fast, there are punishments. Those who don't pray, there are punishments. Those who don't do the fard compulsory action, there are punishments. Yeah, so we have, just so that we are encouraged to do these things. But with regards to one ibadah, one form of worship, which is Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, which is Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah Ta'ala has made some unique laws and rules with regards to doing dhikr, which are different, separate to the compulsory actions. Now if we see, like there is a verse in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala is giving us the instructions with regards to hajj, and implementing the Hajj Allah says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. That Hajj is a big ibadah, as we know. It's a great form of worship, compulsory. And Allah Ta'ala says that when you, the manasik, the different rituals of Hajj, when they are complete, when you're free from such a big ibadah, it's not a small ibadah, maybe once in the life a person gets the opportunity to do Hajj. So when you're free, alhamdulillah, you've done ibadah, you've done tawaf, you've done sa'i, safa, marwa, and all the, you've been to Muna and Muzdalifah, and you are free from the Hajj, and on every footstep, such big rewards Allah Ta'ala is giving for the Hajji, on Hajj. And that person's forgiven. All sins removed, eliminated, clean, pure. Du'as have been accepted on all footsteps, every place. This Hajj, isn't it? Big ibadah. Great ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a big example in the Quran. فَإِذَا قَدَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. And when you have completed your devotions, your actions of Hajj, fine, everything that I've told you to do, you've done it. But be careful of one thing, Allah says. فَإِذَا قَدَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. That you've done Hajj, big ibadah, big worship. But one special ibadah is left still remaining. What is that? Allah Ta'ala says, my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah says, keep on remembering me. Then remember Allah ongoing. Now here, thing, such a big ibadah, we've just finished Hajj, Mina, and all the places you had to go to, and the rituals and the practice, such a big ibadah, you've just finished. You think, oh yeah, I'm done. And Allah could say, go and rest, you're tired. Relax, refresh yourself, and keep on praying Salah and doing other things. You're forgiven now. But here, why is Allah Ta'ala added here that keep on remembering me? Do my dhikr. Why was it necessary for Allah to say, do my dhikr after such a big ibadah, Hajj? What is Allah saying? What is Allah saying? Fadhkurullah. Fadhkurullah. Do my dhikr. So here, the first point for us to understand, to think about, that scholars have stated here, the ulama have stated, that imagine here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has here given us the understanding that how great and virtuous is the act of dhikr, that after such a big action of Hajj, Allah ta'ala is saying, fadhkurullah. Virtues of dhikr. Here's a beautiful point, unique point that emanates from here. Allah Ta'ala, we've just done this ibadah, Hajj. We've gone to Hajj. And after that, Allah, you are saying that fadhkurullah, do my dhikr, continue to do my dhikr. So here, the scholars, the respected scholars have stated, what's the reason here that Allah Ta'ala has added on here that after the ibadah of Hajj, do my dhikr, keep on remembering. The reason here is that when a person worships and practices and does worship, he does all the manasik, all the rituals of Hajj and devotions, but the rite of Hajj has not been fulfilled, has it? There are some mistakes along the way, somewhere there will be ups and downs. What guarantee is there that my Hajj is being accepted? Has anybody got a guarantee? Something will have been spoiled or not done correctly. We're doing ibadah. We're doing what? The roots are there. But here, after ibadah of Hajj, Allah Ta'ala has said, fadhkurullah. In reality, this is a big reward. That what is this? That when you do my dhikr after this ibadah, Allah says, I will accept your Hajj. So here, this is the point here. This is how great the dhikr of Allah is. This is how much barakah. So much barakah in dhikr of Allah. Allah says, the ibadah you've done previous to this, prior to this, and you can't deliver that ibadah to that maqam, can you? Of acceptance. So here, what you do now, Allah says, I'll give you a very easy formula, that you do another ibadah, remember me, do my dhikr easy, and due to your dhikr, remembering me, I will accept your ibadah of Hajj or the ibadah that you did before that. Now here, another point that we need to realize, this is a very good point, that if this occurs after Hajj, then what we realize that this will be the same after all ibadah. So what is necessary is that insan, when he does any ibadah, any worship, faraid, Allah Ta'ala has given compulsory, after the faraid actions, definitely do a little bit of dhikr of Allah. Definitely, definitely. Now, we see here how important is the dhikr of Allah. The emphasis on the dhikr of Allah. How essential is the dhikr of Allah. Azeem, fadhkurullah. Allah says, remember me. Continue to remember me. And then further, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Remember me. And how should you remember me, Allah Ta'ala says? Kadhikrikum aba'akum. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Allah says, don't just remember me in a weak way, in a mild manner way. La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. No, Allah says, this is not what is going to occur or what should occur. Here, I'll explain to you, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the tariqah, the methodology. So we are the people who are doing dhikr, so let's listen clearly, carefully, that this is the dhikr Allah Ta'ala likes, and there's a tariqah here, a method Allah is giving, tariqah, that how to do dhikr. So we should do dhikr in that way, because the way that Allah Ta'ala likes dhikr, we should do that, shouldn't we, or should we do it another way? So what did Allah Ta'ala say here? That after all of the other ibadah you do, dhikr is unique. Why is it unique? Because Allah is prescribing to us. Allah could have said, just do my dhikr, but Allah Ta'ala saying, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ, that Allah Ta'ala says, your father, your relatives, your close relatives, when you speak to them or talk about them, how do you speak about them? When you remember your mother, what do you do? How do you speak? How will you call out to your father? How do you call out to your children? How do you have love and affection for your wife? How do you speak to them when you remember these people, these close relatives? A person, if it's so long you haven't met them and they come and meet you and you speak to them, then sometimes tears come. The eyes swell up, the tears swell up, they come out of the eyes. Obviously it's a natural relationship, a blood relationship with the son, with the father, and the brother, sister, and wife, and brothers and sisters, etc. Allah has given examples. These are, Allah says, when you remember your close relatives with love, and so will you not remember me? And I say, Allah says, no, if you want to remember me, then you should remember me in the same way, with love and affection. Allah Ta'ala says, ka dhikrikum aba'akum. Allah says, make sure you don't remember me just casually. There should be love in your heart when you are remembering me. Deep love and passion. Passion when you remember. Big difference, isn't it? Yeah. So the dhikr that Allah Ta'ala is prescribing and the dhikr we do, the difference is like the heavens and the earth. The gap is big. Here the tariqah Allah is saying of love, that if you remember me with love, with muhabbat, then that dhikr becomes so elevated, alhamdulillah, that while you do that dhikr, then definitely the tears come out of the eyes due to reciting Allah's name. When Allah's glory, His status, His power, when that passion comes into the heart, and then we call out Allah with that love, then at that time the eyes forget everything, the body, the eyes, they swell up, the tears come out. Allah Ta'ala says that tear that emanates due to dhikr, it will extinguish the fire of your Jahannam due to one dhikr, due to one tear. Dhikr of Allah, and with what alongside, in parallel with the love of Allah. And where should the love be? In the heart, in the depths of the heart. That is what we define as the dhikr of Allah. Allah saying, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ, do dhikr after hajj or the other forms of ibadah. But how? كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ, who? Just like you call out to your fathers, your relatives, with a lively remembrance, Allah says, with a more lively remembrance, with a love, with a passion, with remembrance, with desire, with the zest. Allah says, that's what I want. If you sit down to remember me, not this that you're thinking of something else and you're saying Allah's name. No. Allah Ta'ala says, dhikr, my remembrance, this is not a, God, I just fill in the blanks and the spaces and just casually remember. No. Here, the faraid actions, salah, hajj, zakah, fasting. Allah says, do it, you must do it. And I'm telling you to do it the way you have to do it. But here Allah Ta'ala is saying, no, you cannot do dhikr the way you want. First you have to bring love into the heart, then do dhikr. There's a big difference here, isn't it? Difference between the ibadah. So here, there's firmness and strictness with the faraid actions. But here, Allah is saying, no forcing, nothing. Allah says, fine, if you want to do it, fine. If you don't, don't. Allah says, I am not in need of you doing my dhikr. It's up to you. Do it if you can. If you don't, that's your choice. So here, don't think that Allah Ta'ala is dragging us to dhikr. We have to do tabliq and have to force people to do dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, in the person's heart who remembers me and loves me, he will remember me himself. If a person loves me, he will remember me automatically. Don't need to drag him and force him. Here, for salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, the fard actions, you have to force, push people. But here Allah Ta'ala says, with regards to my dhikr, if you love me, you will do my dhikr. What a big difference here. So we see that we can find out the genuineness of human being through the dhikr of Allah. How much link does a person have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no forcing. There's no situation that you have to force a person, come dhikr, do dhikr, why don't you do dhikr? And even if we do sit somebody down or encourage somebody a bit forcibly in the gathering of dhikr, Allah says, what dhikr is he doing of mine? How is he remembering me? If he is forced to remember me, he has no thought of me, no desire of me, so there's a condition here. Allah Ta'ala says, كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ. So at least Allah Ta'ala says, that at least remember me with the love, with the desire and passion. Then what does Allah Ta'ala say after that? أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا.
Allah says, don't just stop there, that, oh, I've got to love Allah. Remember, Allah says that there's another bigger point about love on top of this. Subhanallah, what love is this we're saying? That we remember Allah Ta'ala in a nice way. No, don't remember them just like you remember your relatives. Allah says, oh, ashadda dhikra. And with a more lively remembrance, you have to remember me, Allah Ta'ala says. Then see how the answer comes from Allah. Fadhkuruni yadhkurkum. Then we get the taste of this. Then we get the, so Allah says, كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاكُمْ. Remember me more passionately, lively than when you sit alongside your relatives and people. But Allah says, no, أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرَ, in a more lively way. So 2 points emanate from this. One, that dhikr of Allah is such an azim and great form of worship that Allah Ta'ala says that in the court of Allah, to make our further actions accepted, we need to take the assistance of dhikr of Allah. So remember, make this law and rule for yourself that whatever ibadah you do in your life, wherever and whenever, definitely sit down and do dhikr of Allah. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes after that. In your heart, oh, ashadda dhikra. Oh, ashadda dhikra. And the tariqah of dhikr, the one way of dhikr, Allah says that you do dhikr with love, with pure remembrance. And that is the dhikr-e qalbi of the heart. That's the only way a person can remember Allah in a more lively and passionate way. So this is the first point now, that every deed is made accepted by dhikr of Allah. Number two, dhikr of Allah is that dhikr when you do it with the love of Allah in your heart, Allah's glory, status, power, His shan, everything. When we put that in our heart to say, Allah my Rabb, your favors to me, your ahsanat, your glory, your elevation. Then we sit down and think in our heart, Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, Allah's ni'mas. All of this should look to us as significant, and we shouldn't look towards thawab and I'm doing this and my qam's going high and I am pious. No, everything diminishes. I am lost in the love of Allah. Oh, ashadda dhikra. So here, the point, another point that comes out from here is that when we sit in this way, that just like we remember Allah, we love our parents and our relatives and we remember Allah better than that. Oh, ashadda dhikra. Then Allah says, I will increase your love even more. There's another point that emanates from here. Another point. That Allah says, I will emanate your muhabbat and love, that between me and you, the love that will be there existing, that will be even greater due to the fadl of Allah, due to Allah Ta'ala's love. So remember this always, that don't, let's wait, my friends, that the angels will descend, then we will do dhikr when they remind us. Allah says, no problem, do dhikr if you want, don't do it if you don't want. There's no punishment if you don't like. If you don't pray salah, there's a punishment. There'll be the sticks and there'll be the punishment and the slippers, and Allah Ta'ala will scold and we run towards salah. But dhikr, Allah says, I don't scold, I'm not firm and strict. And there's another point that comes out, a good piece of news, glad tidings, glad news. Only that person will do dhikr of Allah who has love of Allah in his or her heart. All of the people who are sat or joining in this gathering at this moment, good piece of news for everyone. Whoever's doing dhikr, that Allah has instilled in our hearts His love and Allah is accepting our action of dhikr. Allah accepting. So this verse proves this point. That person cannot attend dhikr or perform dhikr or implement dhikr or sit in the gathering of dhikr if he or she does not have Allah's love in the heart. In their own heart. Only that person, Allah says in the Quran, I will only give that person the ni'mah or the gift or the reward of dhikr, subhanallah, in whose heart even a dharra, atom's weight, he has loved my love, that I pull him towards my dhikr. So now let's imagine, let's look towards the ummah now. Let's cast a glance towards the ummah. That what is the relationship of the ummah with dhikr of Allah? How many people like to do dhikr or are doing dhikr? So what we realize is that in our hearts we don't have Allah Ta'ala's love. It's all a deception. It's a deception. Allah Ta'ala says that my beloved people, my believers, beloved believers, there are two signs of my beloved. Allah says two signs of my mahboobs, of my beloved creation. The first sign, sign number one, is Allah Ta'ala says that I give them the ability to do my dhikr. The tawfiq. What a big point. Big point. So subhanallah, thumma alhamdulillah, glory be to Allah. At least we come running to Allah's dhikr. At least we sit down on the night of Jummah with the fadl of Allah. Allah delivers us here and brings us here. So what's this a sign of? That there's the sign of Allah's love. There's no forcing here. Oh, is Allah Ta'ala forcing? No, there's no forcing here, is there? Nobody pulls. So who took us from our home? Who brought us here? What force was that? What was it? We realize here that Allah Ta'ala says that in your heart you have my love. Allah says, oh, ashadda dhikra. Now keep this love consistent. Don't let it break. Don't let it reduce. Don't come into deception or whispering of shaitan. Don't turn back or go back into reverse gear. Allah says, I will increase your heart and your expansion of your heart and your love for me, because this is the sign of my beloved, or the signs of my beloved, that I give them the tawfiq, the ability to do my dhikr. So where do we get these opportunities? Are there many people sat here?
in their droves, and people who come on Thursday night or other days. But Allah Ta'ala says, this is the love in your hearts that has brought you. Subhanallah. So what a great piece of news that Allah Ta'ala, if He loves somebody, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So Allah Ta'ala says, if I love somebody, that will I give him punishment in hereafter? That if Allah Ta'ala is saying in the dunya and the world that these are my beloved servants who love me and I love them, that's why they're doing my dhikr. That's why they're remembering me. And the person who runs away from dhikr, who leaves dhikr, who doesn't do dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says that these people I dislike. I don't like them. Remember this point, that once Allah Ta'ala allows us to do dhikr for the rest of your lives, never leave the dhikr of Allah. Allah is not forcing. Allah is not forcing. Nor do the walis of Allah drug you. The walis of Allah do the same as what Allah Ta'ala says. Otherwise Allah says, leave them, it's okay. You've explained, let them be on their own. If their love is in the heart, they will come. For example, if we love things in the world, we run to other things. Does somebody announce to us? No, we run to our shops or our places of work, business, because we need money. We need money, isn't it? We get everything from there. We run to our shops, our businesses, our pastimes. Allah Ta'ala says, dhikr is not an ibadah. You have to force someone, be strict with them, scold them, like hajj and fasting, and I will say that this will be the punishment if you don't do this, or this will be the... No. Allah says, if you come, you will get so much, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, aw ashadda dhikra, ka dhikrikum aba'akum aw ashadda dhikra. Let's see further, what is the reward for doing the dhikr, for remembering me? Allah says, be careful here. May yaqulu, another point is coming, a great point. May yaqulu rabbana atina fid dunya. Allah Ta'ala says that there are some people of mankind who do dhikr, then they ask from me what? They say, our Lord, give to us in the world. They just ask for dunya, worldly things. Allah says, the dunya and the dhikr of Allah are not compatible. Beware, never ask for dunya as a result of doing dhikr. Why? Why? Allah says that the person who does this, Allahu Akbar, that Allah says, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, then for them he will have no portion in the hereafter. Due to doing dhikr, he'll have nothing in there. This is Quran, isn't it? Allah says, in whose heart he is doing dhikr for this reason, I want my world to become easy, I want dunya. Allah says, I'll give you dunya. Fair enough. But وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقَ, Allah says, and he will have no portion in the hereafter. Dhikr is purely an ibadah, the remembrance of Allah. You have got love, you've got sincerity, and khalis, solely it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and for no other reason. This is the condition. These are the conditions, rather, of dhikr. And then the effects of dhikr will take place. So will we do dhikr in this way? Inshallah, we will try. Remember these points. That never is it like this, that I'm doing dhikr for the greed of world or dunya or nafs or desires, or I'm doing dhikr so I can fulfill my desire. I do dhikr for this reason, that reason. No, totally not. The Allah Ta'ala says, when you go to my dhikr, when you do my dhikr, Allah, I'm doing my dhikr for your dhikr for this reason, because you've put into my heart your love, and I am doing dhikr for your love's sake, because I love you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm a strong ashik. So wherever you see, whenever you have the chance, you have a tasbih, beads, man, woman, brother, sister, I swear by Allah, when you're doing dhikr, if you think this, they say, Allah, I love you. Allah is saying, you love me. That's why you're doing my dhikr. Allah, our creator, is saying this. I swear by Allah, what a great piece of news for the human being. So should we ask for dunya at that time? Should we be greedy for dunya, that we're doing dhikr for the sake of dunya? Allah says, no. مَنْ يَقُلُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَوْ فِي الْآخِرِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُلُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. But if you don't ask for dunya, Allah says, I'll give you dunya and akhirah, and I will save you from the punishment of the hereafter. And of them who say, our Lord, give unto us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and guard us from the doom of fire. So if we do dhikr for Allah's sake, dunya is not in dhikr. We don't ask for dunya, worldly things, greed, or khilafat, or status, uruj, or piety. No, minus everything to zero. Reset button. Now come to me. Allah says, Rabbana atina fid dunya. We want whatever is good in the world, house, home, wife, children, business. This is all dunya, isn't it? Allah says, I'll give you dunya ahsan hasanatan, great level. Don't worry about it. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And your hereafter will be great. If we go through the ahadith, then we'll see that what will the dhakirin get in the hereafter. Amazing. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and the fire of Jahannam will be taken far from you. No punishment. Three rewards for doing dhikr with sincerity, without greed. What a beautiful verse. And who is being praised there? Who's being defined there? Which ibadah is being mentioned there? Dhikr of Allah. So should we do dhikr or not? So why don't you come in the morning?
Sometimes you come, sometimes you don't come, sometimes this is cold, this is hot. Don't do this. Never reject such a big, big ni'mah and gift and treasure of Allah. Never think that you're doing dhikr for someone else, or the sheikh needs you to come, or the sheikh's looking out for you to come, or Allah needs you to come. Nobody is in need of you doing dhikr. But when you do dhikr sincerely, Allah will announce that this is my ashik, he loves me. He loves me. So this is, we should be grateful that Allah Ta'ala into our hearts has put the love of his dhikr. However many times we do it, because Allah said, kathiran kathira. The more we do dhikr, the more we increase it, then you'll become ashiq of Allah. The love of Allah, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. We will attain these three things. Aha, and see further how Allah Ta'ala summarizes. Allah says, nasibum mimma kasabu. That maybe I leave a few words here and there because I'm trying to summarize the topic so we understand. Yeah, Allah says, you don't have yaqeen, you don't have the conviction we will get this. Allah says, nasibum mimma kasabu. You don't believe I'll give to you, or that I will give to you. If you have yaqeen, then Allah says, why don't you listen to these words and come to the Quran? I say to the whole dunya, Allah is announcing to the whole world this verse, that this is Quran. This is my kalam. We're not reading some other book, are we? We're all reading the Quran. In the whole world, the Quran is read. Which place is there that the Quran is not read? Allah is announcing to the whole, Allah is addressing the whole world. Nasibum mimma kasabu. Allah says, you don't have yakini this? You don't have conviction this? That the dhikr is good, it's a great action, that Allah loves this and I will give you all of these things. You don't believe this? Allah says, fine. Allahu Akbar. Wallahu sari'ul hisab. Allah says, for them they're in store a goodly portion out of that which they have earned. Allah is swift at reckoning. You will very quickly see with your eyes that my words were true. Allah says, I've not given you nasibum mimma kasabu. Allah says, a goodly portion I will give out of that which you have earned. Allah is swift at giving. In the akhirah you'll see, Allah says, you will be satisfied. If you don't have yaqeen, you don't have belief, wait for a little moment. Wallahu sari'ul hisab. Allah says that there's no time left, that there's a gap, that my court will be put into existence and I will pass the judgment. Allah says, you're going to die, aren't you? Look at this week, how many janazas have been performed from this same masjid? How many janazas have in this week, the whole line of rahmah of Allah, the people are departing from the world. Sari'ul hisab. And Allah is swift at reckoning. Allah says, time will come very quickly. Allah says, then I'll show you that did I say the right thing in the Quran, or did I just give the Quran for kissing or for reciting in Taraweeh? Yes, do you understand the verse? That how many times we will have read this verse and we don't even understand. Allah says, this is why do you do dhikr? Just read these verses, that's enough. With the fadl of Allah, read these verses. I say that insan, human being, he will never for the rest of his life leave dhikr. If a person has started to do dhikr, and who is the one who runs away from dhikr? Allah says, the person who runs from a dhikr is my enemy. Enemy is the word Allah is using, enemy. And the person who sits in dhikr, Allah says, my mahbub, beloved. Aha, so easy and simple an amal of dhikr Allah has given to us. Jannum, we're running after hellfire, azab, punishment. Allah says, is this really what you want? Allah says, so simple, such a great action. It's so hard to be saved from Jahannam. Allah says, do my dhikr. If you do dhikr with love, then even one tear that comes out of your eye, that one tear will eliminate hellfire from your destiny. Tell me, is it hard to get away from Jahannam, hellfire? Those tears that swell up and come out of your eyes, Allah says, the power, the effect of those tears is that your body will be now pure and free from hellfire, cleaned, purified due to the dhikr of Allah. That's why a person becomes so weighty due to dhikr, isn't it? So it's easy, isn't it? Is it hard? Is it hard to do dhikr? It's a very great action, dhikr of Allah. If only the ummah was to understand today that everything for us, the cure Allah Ta'ala has instilled in what? Dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. Little points, we run away from dhikr. Hardships, problems, issues in the world, we run away from dhikr. Who are we challenging it? Who are we trying to come? Allah says, when you leave my dhikr, gradually, you become like my enemy. So mashallah. MashaAllah, beautiful verses Allah Ta'ala has put in the Quran. Ajeeb and unique points that emanate from these verses to justify and to make us understand dhikr. Three or four things we need to understand. That we need love to do dhikr of Allah. Sit with love, with passion, desire, ease, content and do dhikr. Give up some time. You're feeling sleepy, there's an issue, there's a problem, you're tired or people are stopping you. Leave those things and come and do dhikr. Allah says, he's got my love. That's called love, isn't it? That's called love. You're ill, you're unwell. Small little pieces of feeling unwell or illness. Okay, fair enough. It's a severe illness. You can't get up. Or definitely you are ill. It's really bad because there are three, four types of illness on there. Or if you get sneeze, you get a cold. That's not ill. Or a little bit of a pain in the leg. I can't go to dhikr. No. If it's a severe illness, fair enough. But it's about love. The love of Allah. I've seen such people opening their shops. They have love for dunya. Doctors have told them that your valves are sealed, are blocked. You could get a heart attack anytime. They say, oh, it's all right, we'll see what happens. They open the shop and stand behind the till. And they press the till, ding, and I see them running the shop. And the doctors told you to rest. Ah, I rest so much in here. I'm not working hard much in the shop. And he's standing at the shop, running his shop. And he said, oh, I'm running his computer programming. Oh, I didn't feel like it sitting at home. So why don't you come thinking, oh, no, no, no. I've got pain in this body part. Doctor Saab said, don't move from the bed or the mattress. I can't go to dhikr. But we'll do green tea, tea, tea. I need to drink tea. So is this love? Dunya we run after. Dhikr we stay on the bed. So whose loss is this? Whose loss is this? Don't leave dhikr. Allah says, it's not the effect of your salah. Because salah, you have to pray salah. It's a must for us to pray salah. If Allah Ta'ala didn't tell us about the punishments for leaving salah, would we ever pray salah? So many punishments are there, and that's why we come to salah. That's why. But even then people leave salah. They leave jama'ah, they leave congregation. Allah Ta'ala has kept the stick there for this reason. But this ibadah, dhikr, Allah says, this is solely, sincerely for my love. Allah Ta'ala says, dhikr Allah. Solely for my people who love me, who have love for me. So what we realize is that we should have love for the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, and then when you have love, it should be a high stage of love, which increases towards Allah. Another point that comes here is that every ibadah, Allah Ta'ala says, the dhikr of Allah then allows your other ibadah to go to the level of acceptance. So after every ibadah, do 3-4 minutes of maraqabah. And those people who have not learned dhikr, I'm talking about qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, awa shadda. Here we're not talking about dhikr of the tongue. This is not the one. Wherever Allah Ta'ala has given hukum of dhikr, do we know? Do you realize so many places in the Quran Allah Ta'ala has mentioned dhikr? 800 places Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. How many times? 800 times Allah Ta'ala has mentioned His dhikr, the action of His dhikr in the Quran. Tell me about this. How great is this action? Allah has mentioned, this is qalbi dhikr we're talking about, the dhikr of the heart, silent. Come, Hazrat, teacher, please teach me dhikr. Explain to me how to do dhikr. Learn dhikr. And then after every salah, 3 minutes you'll sit, your salah will be accepted, your ibadah accept. Allah is pleased, you'll be walking around the world. Allah is happy, always on your heart. Allah's rahmah, Allah, your rahmah is coming to my heart, and my heart is saying, Allah, 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 the rahmah. Your rahmah and mercy is descending to my heart is saying, Allah, Allah. Whatever ibadah we do, Quran recitation, you recite the Quran, 2 juz, 3 juz, 5 juz, 7 juz, close the Quran, dhikr of Allah. And this is then a form of acceptance, because your Quran, your deeds are becoming nur ala nur. You give zakah, dhikr of Allah. You go on hajj, Allah said, after hajj do my dhikr. Yes, sir. And after every deed we do, every action in big expeditions and the big clashes, Allah says, do my dhikr after that. Don't forget me. As Musa alayhi salam was going on tabligh, propagation of Islam, deen, 2 prophets. Alongside him was his brother also. His brother. And what a great mission they're embarking upon. Great mission. And he's saying himself that I'm ready. The Nabi is saying that there's a big enemy who's there. It's hard for me to clash against him. Shall we go or not? Allah says, move. Move yourself. Allah is saying to his Nabi, here, take this stick and bring your hand out. Extend your hand. And Allah is encouraging, go and give him tabligh, propagate the deen. But Allah, they have magicians. Can I take my brother with me? Imagine this. Allahu Akbar, what is he saying? Musa alayhi salam, that allow my brother to be assigned to me. Allah says, okay, fine, your brother's going to, they're getting ready, prepared. Allah's preparing them, they're going to do tabligh, spread the deen, propagate Allah's message, to explain to the other people who don't know. What a big message, mission they're going on. They're prepared, ready, totally. Allah prepared them, made them ready. Allah said, now go to him. Then Allah said on top of that remember one point, that your preparation is incomplete unless you do my dhikr. So Allah says, carry on doing my dhikr there, remember this. Pick up the Quran. Has Allah said this or not? What is that verse? Recite that verse, read that verse, and you realize straight away. What is that verse? اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ بِآيَاتِ وَلَا تَنِيَ فِي ذِكْرِي. Allah says, don't forget me. Go thou and thy brother with my tokens, and be not faint in remembrance of me. Allah says, don't forget me. Remember me ongoing. So this is a Nabi, Prophet of Allah, who's being told to remember Allah. What a great hint. The Nabi is a dhakir. That's his life, to do dhikr. But he's being told via the Nabi, Allah is telling us that if you want to attain success, total, complete in the world, you are ready. But success will only come in any position in the life and any second or phase of life when you do my dhikr. Only then will success come. So what place has Allah Ta'ala left? What place or phase or stage of life has Allah left devoid of his dhikr? And today our hal, we forget Allah. Though I don't have to remember Allah, I don't need to do this. So in this day and age of drought, barren hearts, empty, dry hearts, that we can't get nothing There's no light. There's no. Subhanallah, when I see this Jama'at congregation of Dhakirin who remember Allah, then I remember the mercy of Allah. That how have we sat here, my brothers? My friends, think for a moment. Think that what did we know about dhikr, that there's so much ibadah? How did we learn this? Who gave us the encouragement and the drive and the passion that we have forgotten everything about dunya and temporary things, that we forgot everything? We come and sit on that. Alhamdulillah, let's come and sit and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That let's think about it. We lower ourselves, we humble ourselves. They are ulama, they are scholars. Me, I'm not even equivalent to the dust on the sole of the slippers. Ulama, huffaz, khatib, speakers, mashallah, great individuals there. I'm not even equivalent to the dust on their slippers. But the kamal is of these brothers who have come. They have so much love in their hearts for Allah Ta'ala's zikr that they have left everything and come here. And the person who shuns the temporary desires of the world and does zikr of Allah, then they don't know, we don't know what is their stage and their rank. What will be their daraja due to zikr? That a person who's not nothing in comparison, but they understand that dhikr is the crux, is the hinge, the platform upon which our success will come. They say, forget our knowledge and all other things. Well, forget it. We're going to go to dhikr. The people in dunya say, why are you going? Why are you running after this sheikh? He doesn't have knowledge, etc. Why are you going to him? But they have crushed their desires, eliminated their nafs and desires. I congratulate you, brothers, all of my respected scholars. What is your maqam? Nobody can compare against them. They are normal people, etc. Yes, but they are great scholars. They are huffaz, people who memorize Quran, who've got knowledge, have learned ilm, and they're coming here solely for that reason, that dhikr is happening here. So learn dhikr and say, Hazrat, teach us dhikr. And with the adab, with the manners, alhamdulillah. So this, my brothers, Allah Ta'ala said, learn dhikr, do my dhikr. I swear by Allah, it's a great action. Allahu Akbar, Allah is so great. Allah says, nasibum mimma kasabu, wallahu sari'ul hisab. On the day of judgment, people will be envious of these scholars. Today people think, oh, look at these scholars, these mulanas. Why are they going to dhikr? Why they sat at the port imam Muslim? They oh, they've gone after the sheikh. They go in the morning, in the evening. People say this. They sneer and snigger and criticize, but they don't understand the greatness and the rank of these people, the scholars and ufad who sat here, because they're doing dhikr of Allah. They're remembering Allah. They have lowered themselves, not for dunya, not for status, not to be recognized, not for piety. They have crushed their desires and their nafs. They've crushed everything and they've come to the dhikr of Allah. And they know, and Allah knows, and we know that such great reward they will get. And imagine the love in the hearts of these great people. Today I'm reminding them that in your hearts, do dua for me, you respected scholars. Scholars and ufad, do dua for the ummah, you scholars who sat here, because your duas will be accepted. Imagine your status and your rank. These are tests in the world, that such scholars who are jeered at or sniggered at or criticized, why do you do dhikr? Why do you go do dhikr? And they have problems and issues and illness, and a lot of that comes. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala increases their rank and status so much that the meaning of problems and distress is rank and glory. Allah says the reward, whenever, remember this, whenever a problem comes, then I'm just understand, subhanAllah, that my rank is being increased. My level is being increased. My piety is being increased, my brothers. So we should at least look at these scholars, these ufad, and be ashamed that why don't we come to dhikr? Such great individuals who come to dhikr, they sit, alhamdulillah, 2 hours, they listen to my words. And mashallah, they know that they make their errors and they don't even say anything about that. And they listen with patience and listen to the Quran. What a maqam they have, a status they have, rank they have. Great status of. So I will request that, brothers, such a great ibadah, dhikr, don't leave it, forget about that. We should drag people and tell them, come to dhikr and learn dhikr. And those people who haven't learned, they should learn what is dhikr. Don't leave the majlis until you haven't learned the dhikr of Allah. The Allah, we want, Hazrat, we want to learn dhikr, we want to do dhikr. Why has that shaitan shackled us with these chains? We've made such a big mistake. The Allah, our heart will keep on saying Allah, 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 and the Quran will continue. The Quran will continue. There's no condition. You have to be bayah with this sheikh, that sheikh, this sect, this cult, etc. No. Your heart belongs to Allah, doesn't it? Whose heart is it? Allah. So some people say, no, I'm bayah with another sheikh. I can't come to dhikr. So what if you're bayah? That will your bayah break if you learn dhikr of Allah? If you learn dhikr from another, this is a deception of shaitan. Alhamdulillah, we get married twice. So can you not have two sheikh? Two teachers? If you, someone says, I want to get married to you, never will the other wife say, okay, look, you know, I'll prepare for you, I'll provide to you. But look, the proposal has come, and I can get married twice, and a person will run out to get married twice. But subhanAllah, if you got dhikr, and you're getting the great gift of dhikr from another sheikh, that your heart will become alive, you won't get this from another person, will you? So learn this dhikr from that sheikh. What difference does it make? This is the deception of shaitan that is stopping us. Allah is saying this. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying.
Then look at نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Don't waste the rewards. Allah says نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Don't waste the rewards of dhikr. I'm telling you via the Quran that dhikr is a great action. This is the maqam, the rank. Look at these verses. And you're running away. Will we learn dhikr and go? Yes. So shaitan come out of our hearts and minds now that I can't try more than this. I can't explain more than this. May Allah Ta'ala accept our attempts, our efforts. So be steadfast on dhikr and consider that dhikr is the best of these. That this does not mean that you leave all the other actions of the... No. Be consistent in dhikr. Dhikr is the ruh, the soul. It is the platform and the hinge upon which everything is constructed in your deen. And all of the other things you do in Islam, propagation of deen and subjects and teaching will be elevated. Okay? So we will all do dhikr. Inshallah. Ameen.